Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And in these days prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul.
Antioch, the model church. If I were to ask you for a history of your church, what would you say? About its beginnings, its roots, its foundations, the times of revival that have been here or there, or maybe here, or if you're from somewhere else. Times of trial, times of fighting for the truth, allegiance to the scriptures, faithfulness to the scriptural pattern. Oh, you could go on for months, no doubt. But here in our reading of Acts, we have the history of the beginning of a branch of the New Testament church recorded to us by the Holy Spirit through the writings of Luke. Antioch, the model church. This fellowship earned the privilege of being the first believers to be called Christians, as the children have already been shown. And I trust that we have listened. Well, one has. We have quite a lot of recorded facts about them. So we want to look at these. And I want to first go through the background. The Holy Ghost has been sent. Acts chapter 2. The church of Jesus Christ began in a powerful way. And the essentials of the church being laid down very clearly in Acts 2 at the end in verse 42. And they continued in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. And after that it says in 43, and signs followed. Hallelujah. Now that's worth having, isn't it? And that's what we want, isn't it? And it wasn't just signs of raising the dead, healing the sick and all the rest. Some of the signs were believers coming in multitudes, I'll say. That which had been for a few in the Old Testament times, as Hebrews 1 and verse 1 said, sundry times, that is many parts, was now given and promised for every believer in Jesus. The baptism and infilling of the believer with the Holy Spirit for service. Not for salvation, for service. Amen. They'd already been, have the Holy Spirit come in salvation and transform them. And Peter quoted Joel's prophecy, which was now being fulfilled. Not only for the Jews, not only for them in that day, of day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem, but for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord will call. Amen. Peter preached in verse 38 of Acts chapter 2. Such was the impact of this church full of the Holy Spirit that the unbelieving religious leaders said, they have turned the world upside down. Now that's a change, isn't it, that we want to see. And that's in Acts 17 and verse 6. Stephen, I'm still talking about the background, a deacon in the local church, was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And he did evangelism with signs and wonders local to Jerusalem. We see in Acts chapter 6. And he angered the local synagogue and with his Bible doctrine. And he said to them, he said, why do you always resist the Holy Spirit? Just like your fathers did. And pow, what did they do? They stoned him to death. And he saw Jesus standing there to receive him into his glory. So it was already in Jerusalem. Philip also went to Samaria evangelizing. I'm going to miss a bit out here. There's a lot of it. Satan couldn't stop him.
Hallelujah.
And he went into Samaria. And the believers were, what happened to the believers? There were many, many believers. They sent down Peter and John to lay hands on them and see them filled with the Holy Spirit. Essential. Now they're believers. Now we want to see them empowered. The key to the explosion and unstoppable move of the church to expand and increase was the power of the believers filled with the Holy Spirit. The people were irresistible. And they were hated by some. They were loved by others. But adored by God as he sees his Spirit unleashed into the world.
Amen.
All things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Even the terrible things that seemed to be happening to them, God turned round and made them good. They healed a man, they get put into jail for it, and what does God do? A miracle bringing them out and starting well. And that's how it went. Oh, the power and the grace of God that we see in the early church amongst his people. Did the persecution of the church after the martyrdom of Stephen stop the church? Not on your life. Actually, it did exactly the opposite. When you have troubles, if you trust God, they work for your good. That's what he said. Did the persecution of a church that the high priest of the Jews funded to stop the church? Did he stop the church? No! God laughs at the attempts of this world, as we see in Psalm 2. Why do they breathe and rage? They think they can stop me. I'm putting my king in Zion.
Amen.
You'll not stop me.
Hallelujah.
Not again. So God had an amazing plan. Now there was also, in this time in the early church, when Stephen was stoned, there was a man there, wasn't there? Holding the cloaks of Stephen. He was raging against the church. And he even raged even more after the death of the church. Why? Because if we look, we see, and Jesus put his finger on it. Why do you kick against the pricks? Why are you kicking against what I'm doing? Because I am touching you and you know it.
Amen.
It was his conscience. And it was Saul of Tarsus. So Jesus received Stephen, and then he saved Saul. and sent him on a new journey in the new move of God, which they call then the Way. That's what it was called before they were first called Christians in Antioch in Acts chapter 11. He was soon witnessing all of Jesus, his old life washed away, baptized in water, filled with the Holy Spirit, and his life was to bear testimony of his Savior.
Hallelujah.
The door opened in Samaria. Peter went down, as we know, at the bidding of the Lord to Caesarea. Can you see what God is doing? What it is to do with our text. We also have recorded that many who left Jerusalem after the persecution of Stephen and his death not only went to Phoenicia and Cyprus, but it says in Acts chapter 11 that they also went to Antioch. Ha! So we see why the church started there. Because if we put it into context, God took a bunch of you and said, right, out from where you are and go there. And they settled there and started what? Talking about Jesus. So we have Saul of Tarsus moved out of Jerusalem, sent to Tarsus, bewildered because he couldn't understand. Well, that's another story. What had gone wrong with his preaching in Jerusalem? It was a bit like me. but he went anyway. And he was sent, and after 3 years of seeking God in the desert, suddenly, up along comes Barnabas and finds him and say, hey, I know what God has told you to do because you shared it with me in Jerusalem. He said, and you want to go to the Gentiles, don't you? Well, come with me and see what God's doing. And you see, he could say that because he'd already gone to Antioch on behalf of the church of Jerusalem to see what was happening. Why are these people, these Gentiles, these Greeks, these people preaching Jesus and receiving the Holy Spirit? And he went down and he saw the great grace of God there and he took Paul. So you have the Christians, you have Barnabas, you have Paul already now in Antioch. So believers were found at Antioch. It wasn't the result, as we said, of some great campaign, not some great evangelistic outreach, but the maneuvering of the Holy Spirit, taking God's children from one area to another to witness of Jesus and establish his church. It began to grow as the believers witnessed and gossiped the gospel among their neighbors, workmates, and newfound friends. Paul and Barnabas did not start the church, although they were apostles and church planters. They didn't start the church. But the Holy Spirit moved in to the fellowship. Moved them into the fellowship. But what an amazing thing. Here's two apostles in the fellowship at Antioch. It was already a church there. Yeah. It's a bit, when I look at modern protocol and church, you'll have to forgive me. It's very, very staid and upright.
Yeah.
But wasn't so. They were not celebrities. They were accepted in as part of the local body. No different from you or me. It says in 11 verse 26 of Acts, for a whole year they assembled with the church. So simple, isn't it? They assembled with the church. They didn't run the church. They didn't organize the church. They didn't do everything in the church. They were part of the church. The foundations in verse 26 of our reading in chapter 11, it records that Paul and Barnabas taught a great many people. They were not only accepted in as Christians into the fellowship, but also their gifts and teachings were accepted as well. As apostles, they taught the doctrines of the apostles of the Lamb, which was set down in Acts chapter 2. And as the early church did at the beginning, they set the foundations of Christ, of faith and the practice in the church. Paul had been given revelation of the doctrines of the church and the body, specifically while he was out being taught by God. He said, I conferred not with flesh and blood, but he was taught by the Holy Spirit. Which were not yet apparent at the launch of the church in Acts 2. So they were proceeding. And Antioch was proceeding in its doctrine. It was going on. It was seeing revelation from heaven. The essential ingredients of this New Testament church. Wow. Well, I mean, it's overflowing. They had an evangelistic outlook. That which the people were moved into Antioch, they came gossiping and preaching the gospel. They never lost. There is no sign of being lukewarm, no sign of being cold. They were absolutely on fire for Jesus. They valued their salvation. They had a vision for the lost, which they never lost. Their vision was so intent and focused that they even sent out Saul and Barnabas to establish churches in unreached areas. Acts 13 and verse 2. Now separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I have called them, said the Holy Spirit. They had multiple ministries within the fellowship. We see that they've got two apostles. And now we see in verse 27, there are prophets as well. A notable one, Agabus, who we heard the children being told. He prophesied the dearth, he said, that was to come, the famine on the world. So the church could be cared for. It isn't, they also had, it says, prophets and teachers. So we're seeing more than just pastors. We are seeing apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, everything coming into the church. It's no wonder that Paul gives the teaching in Ephesians 4:11. He himself, the Lord, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What for? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, that is building up of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. That means we haven't arrived, but we're going on to be perfect in Jesus. Well, not just me, not just the leader, not just Mark, not just the deacons and leaders. Every person moving on in the unity of the faith to become one great big man in Jesus Christ. Wow. They were so sound. They were sound in practice, in doctrine and truth. Wow, sound. They were a praying church. It was a time when the church was in a session of ministering to the Lord and with fasting that the Holy Spirit spoke and gave direction. They would be singing, they would be praise, they would be giving of thanks to the Lord with pure devotion. They didn't just come to sing a song and sit down. When they sang the song, they were reaching out to the Lord. There was a passion in the things that they did. Not just a format of order of service. They gave themselves because their salvation was so real, meant so much. They prayed as the church, early church did, and waited before him for the church and for their works. We see that there was always time for the Spirit to minister. The Holy Spirit must never be left out of our meetings.
Okay.
We give time for him, even if in silence and there's no speaking. But give time for him. Because in that time, he can drop something into somebody's heart. And into somebody's spirit. It can change the direction of your life. And nobody else will know it, but it can do it. But always give time for the Holy Spirit. There is no church without the Holy Spirit. And as they prayed, they were rewarded, like the church in Acts 4. You know, after Peter and John were put in prison for the work and the preaching they'd done in healing the lame man and speaking to the people. But they couldn't find anything against them, and the people wanted them out anyway, so they let them go. They went back to the fellowship. What did the fellowship? They went into ecstasy in praise and thanks. And praised the Lord and exalted him and said, we're glad, we're absolutely thrilled to bits to be able to suffer for you. But now, Lord, ha. And they prayed.
Yeah.
What, for their persecutors? Oh, well, that's Lord. Let's flatten them, Lord. Let's kick them into touch. No, he didn't. No, no. They prayed for more boldness to preach the word, for signs and wonders to accompany the word. And what happened after they prayed? When they prayed, the place where they assembled was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word with boldness. Wow. That's a prayer meeting. Hallelujah, isn't it? Amen. I believe that they were then experiencing on earth what God was showing in heaven. He was laughing. He was rejoicing. And if you think, did God just sit there like this? Oh, you're very well done, son. Ha, I tell you. Like in Psalm 2, he laughs.
Amen.
He rejoices. And especially when we are being faithful.
Amen.
At such faith, tenacious faith I've put here. And his pleasure was evident on earth. And what did he give them? He gave them, whoa, £150 million. No. A new house, a new car, no. He gave them the inheritance of Christ for his people.
Amen.
He gave them an infilling of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
More of his Holy Spirit. More of boldness to live this life of witness. This life of adventure. This life of fulfillment. And this was a new infilling, as in Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Be being filled every day. Not just once and forget about it. I can speak in tongues. That ain't enough. It's for service. The gifts of the Holy Spirit were evident. They were freely using the gifts of the Spirit. We see that Paul and Barnabas were sent out after the use of prophecy. Now you say, well, yeah, but there were prophets in the thing. It doesn't say that it was a prophet that gave the prophecy. It could have been a member in the congregation. I remember back in Kings when, this is not in my message, in Kings, that they needed direction because the Moabites were coming and they were going to chop them all up and they got no defenses, that they got down before the Lord and they prayed and somebody prophesied what to do. I'm not going to go through it, but it wasn't the chief priest, it wasn't the leader, it wasn't the king, it was somebody in the prayer meeting.
Amen.
But it was God, and they had deliverance. But you see, because the Holy Spirit spoke, they sent out Paul and Barnabas. They acted. Hey, I'm going to tell you something else now. Theocracy is more sure than democracy. When you rely on that, not the votes of men and women, then you're on a sure path.
Hallelujah.
To heaven and pleasing God.
Yes.
All parties were at peace and the church moved forward. I have no doubt the other nine gifts that are in 1 Corinthians 12 were evident as well, like they were at Corinth. Later. There was complete harmony between them. What a spirit we see in these believers. Look at the early church from Acts 1 to Acts 4, and we see a singleness of heart amongst them. And the church grew at amazing pace. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, 2 verse 1, 4 verse 24 and 32 by implication, they all say they were of one accord. There weren't two different ideas, two different peoples, two different ways. Oh, I'd rather do it my way. No, I want to, we'll do it our way or anything like this or whatever the situation. They were all of one mind because they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all intent on doing God's will. They trusted God and the new way and the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And so, because they were of one accord, they were able to see people added daily, increase, multiply, and whatever, with signs and wonders included. Friends, heaven and its resources was an open door to the new church and to this church at Antioch. Unity within the church has always been a major factor in the moving of God. And it is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, attributes for growth. God can't please two lots of people or people with different ideas. They've got to come together. That's why our government's falling apart. But we'll talk about that later. You can't stand. Can't go anywhere. Remember the Tower of Babel? Oh, we see it in our government, don't we? Good grief. They came, they built it, they're going to get them to heaven. It was a blasphemous thing. Against God. We can get as high as you. We're as big as you. We're as important as you. And God came and had a look and he said, they were one. Ha. And you think, well, these are a rotten lot of people. Yes, they were. But they were all the same. They were one in their purpose. And if he didn't intervene, he said, nothing will be withheld from them. Because there's such a power in unity. Tremendous power. How much more with the church, with unity in a church like this in Antioch? In Antioch we see it when they sent relief. Or they sent relief. The Christians all got together and clubbed together for relief. If they got £1 million, they gave 100,000. If they got £10, they give £1. But they were all in the same mind. In receiving Barnabas from Jerusalem, they willingly had him in the midst. They accepted Saul and Barnabas into fellowship. And in 13, where they fasted and prayed in one mind, accepted the command of the Spirit. Oh, no, we don't think you ought to go there. Oh, no, we don't think you ought to go yet. Oh, no. No, it's none of that. Get out, like the Holy Spirit says.
Amen.
And so they sent them to plant churches and further the gospel in new territories. Pardon me. With unity brings the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if Satan's kingdom is divided, it won't stand. If Satan be divided against Satan, it won't stand. Because they were saying he cast out devils by the prince of... He casting his own out. Oh, come on. Even Satan's not that daft. And he says, a house that is divided cannot stand. Don't go anywhere. Crumbles eventually. That's our government again, isn't it? But he also said, if two agree on a thing on earth, it shall be done in heaven. How about 20 then? How about 50? How about 100? How about 200? If they all ask, all in unity and agree. Wow. Nothing shall be withheld them either. Nothing. Antioch asked and they got. They had an outward looking vision. 11 and verse 19. All the people were mobilized and full of their Christian faith, all doing the things that they should be doing according to their abilities. And they shared their love of Jesus with everybody. I've got this in here. We sing, he is more than a song. Oh, we love to sing a song, but Jesus is more than that song.
That's right.
He's greater than that song. Is more wonderful than that song. And so on. Because in him is eternal life and the hope of the heavenly home. Their outward vision was in action. All their giftings were used for the kingdom. From the kind, like even the sowing of Dorcas, to the apostle planter. Whatever they did, they did it for Jesus. Even Dorcas only sowed a bit. And what did she see? She got died and rose again. And many people were added to the Lord. Hallelujah. I've got a good message on that. You haven't heard that one. Wow. We attribute the churches in Macedonia, Europe and Greece to the work of Paul. And rightly so. But don't forget. He was sent out from Antioch by the fellowship with God's blessing. And they supported him. They were a model church of God's design and building, filled with the Holy Spirit, moving in the flow and in the fiery stream of his inspiration. They heard his voice. They recognized his promptings for the individual and the fellowship. It was a pattern after the manner of God's design. Following the original church in Acts 2, which was filled with the Holy Spirit. Pentecost, friends, was never meant to be a denomination. It is not a denomination. It was the day of Pentecost. In the season of Pentecost, according to the feasts in Numbers and Leviticus. It's an experience. And it was the essential ingredient of the church that Jesus said he would build. Denominations were the result of men out of unity. with their fellow men, sometimes by design, sometimes by necessity. But all they did was maintain division and cause confusion in the world. You can't even get it together, the world says about our church. But Paul said the church was in the beginning and should be one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Who is above all, through all, and in you all. Yeah. Jesus said, I will build my church. And he sent his Holy Spirit. He said, if I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. Jesus wanted to go back to the throne so that he could send his Holy Spirit, so that the 12 and the 120 and the 3,000 and all the multiples that came after would be filled with his Holy Spirit and go into all the world and preach the gospel to their neighbors, to their workmates, to the local community, to their neighbors, everywhere. In their schools. Hallelujah, we had that last week. Everywhere. And his means of mobilizing it was by sending his Holy Spirit and filling them and sending them out of that power, that grace, and that desire, that boldness. He said, greater things will you do than I do. You know, there ain't any greater than raising the dead, than healing the paralytic and all the rest that he did. But going into all the world was something that Jesus couldn't do on his own. But he's got a new body.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And we are his body. And he says, there are 150, there are 1,000, there are 1,000,000, there are 10,000,000 people who are in my image, being transformed into my likeness, filled with my Holy Spirit. Go out and do it. The greater works. They were given a special name. These people in the church of Antioch were labeled with a new name. For before believers were called believers of the way. I think it's because he said, I am the way, the truth and the life. But we see it in Acts 9 and verse 2 anyway. It says they were called the people of the way. But now the world and Judaism began to realize their emphasis on Jesus. And they tried to mock them and call them, it was a little name, call them Christians, little Christs. But that which was intended to be a slight has become the most honorable description of a man that this world could ever give.
Hallelujah.
I am a Christian.
Amen.
Like those kids were taught.
Yeah.
Great. I am a follower of Christ. I am a true one. I belong to Christ. I love him, follow him, will not deny him, because he has a name above every name. Antioch was the center hub and mother church for the region beyond Judea. Let me say, the true church of Jesus Christ is not finished yet. History has tried to chop it. Kill it. God has sent reformations, refreshings, restorations, everything. But in these last days, the Pentecostal experience has been renewed since about 1910. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit is accepted all over the world now, no matter what the believing denomination is. Jesus' plan, friends, has never changed.
That's right.
He doesn't have to change. The word doesn't change because we have different ideas. It's still as wonderful as it was then. In Antioch, his church, his body, his temple, his people, filled with the Holy Spirit. The church moved forward towards the great prize and calling of our faith, which we earnestly look for. Seeing Jesus Christ, our Savior, face to face is what we wait to see. Who died for us, rose again, saved us, lives with us, loves us, and waits to call us to the great home that he said, I am preparing for you.
Amen.
It became Paul's home and base. Nearly done. Yeah, I think I'm on time. Yeah. When Paul had completed his missionary journey, he returned to Antioch. He wasn't a free spirit in that sense, doing whatever he pleased, but where he had been cared for, encouraged and sent out, he returned to be ministered to be refreshed as a traveller and pioneer in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Paul also met Silas here, and they went out together after Barnabas went a different way. So what can I conclude for our talk this morning? Antioch, a model church. Vibrant, fearless, fully empowered believers, full of God the Holy Spirit, faith, ministries and body giftings. What a church. Meetings charged with heavenly fire. Saints crying to God for guidance, for plans, for revelation. Selfless people who want more of him to be able to please him more. And to share their salvation and experience with the unsaved world. Give and it shall be given to you is the cry of God still today. Not just of your money, but of yourselves. And I will give to you, pressed down, shaken together and running over. You will live a that thrilled, exciting, adventurous life. You'll never turn back again. These people were full in their hearts, full in their spirits, and refused to be empty. They wouldn't settle for less than God's best. They had a heart to give and a life that is short in duration compared with the everlasting ages that is coming. Well done. They are waiting to hear. Their good and faithful servant. You were faithful over few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The joy because what they'd done pleased him.
Amen.
And now you can share my joy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus says, my peace and my joy will never be taken from you.
Faithful.
They work the works of God while it was still day, for the night comes when no man can work. They had the spirit of a people who were citizens of heaven, not of earth. And we forget that. It's a different message. I can't go into that. They had a passport stamped. Hallelujah. Not like Thomas Cook passport. They got a passport that was stamped. Heaven. Heaven's child. Where's your book? Ha! Philip! Hallelujah. Yeah. And whatever your name is. And so they never thought they'd arrived. Never, this is what God has for us. They knew what God could do and they went full steam ahead into their future. When they reached a level, they sought God for a higher level. There is no height restriction with God. These believers in Antioch kept bursting out of their walls. No comfort zones. We are pleased to share the sufferings of Christ and the glories of Christ as well. We see why the Antioch Christians were called Christians. Believers were called Christians. How they earned the title and how pleased God was with them. Do you know, in the whole of the Bible, I do not hear one word from our Savior or the Holy Spirit against them, but the scriptures pour out with praise for this church. There is no end to God. He can do far more abundantly above what you ask or think. And we are heading, friends, towards, at a tremendous rate, towards the end of the end times and the coming of the kingdom of heaven on earth. But God's looking for the kingdom of heaven in us today. And we can play a great part in that kingdom of heaven on earth. Jesus says, if you have been faithful in little, you will be rewarded with much, and you will rule with me 1,000 years. Wow. We do not protect God. We don't protect the church. But as Antioch, we let the church loose. We follow the Lamb wherever he would go. Amen. Ensure the church of the living God is alive, reaching out, having a supernatural life, being matched only by an even more supernatural future with Jesus. Antioch, friends, never happened in a day. It started from small beginnings, gathered momentum, and became a model church after the pattern laid down by Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It was a real church, friends. We're real people like us. And they continued to grow in stature and maturity. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. Don't think you've arrived. Don't think that I'm doing everything that God can give me to do. Reach out. Reach out. There's no end to God. There's no end to his Spirit. There's no end to Jesus. The Lord's church, friends, has choices to make, decisions to make. Will it stand still? If it does, it'll stagnate. Will it go back on the revealed paths and die? Or will it go fearlessly into the great future that God has with adventures of faith and become a model church of the 21st century as Antioch was in the first? Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And my word will never pass away. The model church, friends, full of God, full of Jesus, full of purpose. Never satisfied except want more, more and more of God. Want to go on. Want to press into a future. Want to see more, experience more than I've ever seen and experienced before. Want to go the way that the Spirit is going and moving. I didn't understand it all. I might not have agreed with all, but God, for your church and for your people, I plead all together. All together. And see what God can do.